The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 9. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. The Jews then answered him, Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is John 8, 42 to 59, the gospel lesson just read. The sermon title is Hearing God's Words. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how good are you at listening? Have you ever sat on your back porch or in your backyard and just listen to the sounds around you? This time of year, you can hear birds singing all around your neighborhood. There may be a dog barking in the distance, or maybe right next door. You can often hear the dull roar of traffic on the local main road. Listen closer and you might make out the occasional truck or motorcycle going by on the road. On occasion, around here, you might hear the new Caltrain motors and cars rumbling and whistling as they head through town. You might hear the airplanes as they fly in and out of San Francisco International Airport, or the private planes, which sometimes come right over here from the San Carlos Airport. All those sounds and more are there all the time. But you won't notice them unless you stop whatever you're doing, pay attention, and listen. How good are you at listening to God's word? Are you in the practice or take time out to listen to God in his word? And that's the question that is raised by Jesus in our gospel this morning when he said, He who is of God hears God's words. John 8, 47. Now when Jesus said this, he who is of God hears God's words, he was not complimenting the people around him. He was in the middle of an argument, a pretty vicious one, with the Jewish religious leaders. The preceding verse in John 8, 3 indicates these leaders were primarily the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the smart religious scholars of the day. Their claim to fame was their supposed expertise in the knowledge of the scriptures. The Pharisees were the power brokers, the leading political party within the Jewish church. Their claim to fame was their real social and political power. Jesus was a mortal challenge to both of their power and their influence. And that's why these guys kept trying to put him to death. Our gospel lesson this morning is part of a longer discourse. It starts in John 8, verse 2, and finishes with John 8, 59, which is the last verse of our text. In verse 59, the scribes and Pharisees pick up stones to stone Jesus to death. Now, the setting was the temple courtyard in Jerusalem, and was the largest public area in the city, kind of like some of our city squares. In John 8, verse 2, the situation started with Jesus arriving in the temple courtyard in the early morning, sitting down, and all the people coming over to listen to him to teach as he taught his disciples. There, and then, in the temple courts, some of the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. According to the law of Moses, adulterers were to be stoned to death. They asked Jesus what he taught about the punishment of adulterers. Jesus delayed his response for a while, then finally said, "He who is without sin cast the first stone," John 8, verse 7. One by one, the accusers who had brought the woman left in embarrassment. Well, why didn't they take up stones? That was the law. Because each one of the accusers was guilty of the same sin that they accused her of. How did they know about this? When all the accusers were gone, Jesus told the woman, "I do not condemn you. Go now and sin no more." Now we should ask, what did Jesus teach about adultery? He did teach it is a serious sin, but he did not teach that adultery is a crime worthy of death. He did not teach that any sexual sin is a crime worthy of death. In Jesus' religion, these offenses are to be legislated and tried by the state, not by the church. It's in the civil realm of things, the left hand of God. And this is why in Lutheran theology, marriage is to be regulated by the laws of the state, not by the laws of the church. At the same time, the Bible clearly teaches that those people who refuse to repent and who persist in sexual sins, such as fornication, adultery, homosexuality, and others, will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words." Then in John 8, 31 to 32, again before our text, Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here Jesus wants you to do more than just listen. He wants you to always listen to his words and always try to act accordingly. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Now, are you the type of Christian who just goes through the motions? What do I mean by that? Well, you went through the motion, or somebody brought you through the motions to get baptized. You went to Sunday school, I think many of you, that was good. Maybe you went to Christian day school, that was good. You went to catechism class, very good. You were confirmed, very good. You brought your children to the baptismal font, very good. You go to church and communion regularly, that's good. All these things are good and necessary for Christians. But if you just go through the motions and you're just there, but you don't listen to anything, and you don't believe in, and you don't abide in God's word, those good things won't do you any good. The word is the key. The sounds of the church and God's word are all around you when you are regular at church. So you know, it's out there, it's in the oral sphere, but you won't really hear those sounds in God's word unless you pay attention. and listen to the words of God. You don't need to pay attention to me, but pay attention to God. And then keep on listening to the words of Scripture the rest of your life, day by day, week by week. God's word in the Bible is not like any other book that you might read once and then put on the shelf for the rest of your life. You walk by and say, I read that book. It's an exceedingly complex book filled with poetry, fables, wise sayings, proverbs, prophecies, histories, teachings, and epics. I have found in my own devotional life, that is, the time I spend in Scripture for myself, that life experiences bring new insight into the Bible. I understand now many things in my late 60s that I would have never understood in my 30s, certainly not when I was a teenager. And it's not because I'm a minister. It's because life throws different challenges at you and different temptations at different phases of life. I encourage each one of you to set aside some time each week or each day, if possible, to read through the entire Bible, not at once, but from cover to cover, or maybe books at a time, chapter by chapter. Take a chapter at a time. You should have enough knowledge from your catechism class to do this on your own. A good study Bible, like some of you have, the CPH Lutheran Study Bible, can help you understand more of the Bible when you read it, and maybe a dictionary sometimes too. But any good English translation will do. Now, I found that it's easier to listen to God's word when I'm reading it by myself. When I'm reading by myself, I don't have to follow the preacher's train of thought or the discussion that goes on with a group Bible class, and sometimes, you know, it goes off on tangents. When I'm reading by myself, I can stop when I notice something and pay attention to it and then listen and think about what God is saying to me in that Bible passage. Now, why should you do this? What's the motivation? Well, it's not because God threatens you, but because other things threaten you: sin, death, and Satan. Listen to these words in verse 51. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, you may have noticed the scribes and Pharisees really got upset when he said that. Now, if you look at what he says, Jesus didn't say that those who keep his words won't die. He said they will never see death. So what does that mean? What does it mean to see death? When you see something and you look at it and you really concentrate on it, its qualities and attributes enter into your mind and they affect your emotions, your will, your heart, and your spirit. The same thing with music. Like, you go to a concert, it doesn't take much to, because it just blasts away at you. And it affects you. It goes inside of you. Well, death does the same thing. Those people who do see death, those who are unbelievers, experience its full force, so that its qualities affect their mind, emotions, heart, will, and spirit. And it never leaves them. Their soul dies with their bodies. Those people who listen to God's word and abide in it do not see death in that way. They don't need to fear it, first off. Well, their bodies are going to die, of course. But their souls, that is, their mind, emotions, will, heart, and spirit, that cannot die or be harmed by the experience of death because it knows it's going to go past, over death into life. Jesus talks about the soul of Lazarus in heaven with Abraham. And that's while his brothers are still living. We're not talking about after the third judgment, after the second coming of Christ. This is Luke 16, 19 to 31. The soul of Lazarus, a regular believer, is in heaven. That's what happens to your soul when it dies. St. Paul talks about our house in the heavens, not made with hands, and a dwelling from heaven where the souls of believers live on after the death of their bodies, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 to 2. And there are other passages like that. So if you believe in Jesus, and you believe the words of Jesus, and you abide in those words, and you believe them, then death cannot hurt your soul, your mind, wills, heart, and spirit. On the day when your body ceases to work, it ceases its life, your soul will arise to heaven, just as Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. Of course, we wait for the resurrection of our bodies, but that soul will not see death. Remember those words. Jesus said, verse 51, "Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." In our Savior's name, amen.